Okay, B'siyata D'Shmaya, today's daf is Kuf Lamed Daled in Masechta Shabbos. Our daf is going to continue analyzing the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph that tells us the halachos of what is permissible to do on Shabbos on behalf of the Mila. So before we begin today's daf, Kuf Lamed Daled, let's just take a look quickly on the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph. The Mishnah told us, "Oisin kol tzarchei mila b'Shabbes, moilin uparim moitzin v'noisin alea ispalinus v'kamon." So you're allowed to do everything. The mila, the priya, is the bringing back of the orla. Mitzitza is the sucking of the dam, and to put a bandage and a medicine called cumin. The Mishnah also said, "Imlo shachak be'erev b'Shabbes." If you didn't grind it on erev Shabbos, lo es b'shinav. Then you could grind in your mouth. And then the Mishnah goes on and says, "Imlo taraf yayin v'shemen erev Shabbos." And if you didn't mix the yayin and shemen that was part of the medicine, yinasin zeh ba'atzmo v'zeh ba'atzmo. So we're going to focus on the problem of shchika of the kamon on erev Shabbos, as well as the mixing of the yayin and shemen. So let's pick up two lines from the top on Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. The Mishnah said, "Lo shachak me erev Shabbos." If you hadn't crushed the cumin, so you're not allowed to crush the cumin at all. That's not going to be acceptable, except if you chew it. So the Gemara immediately analyzes this. Tan Rabbanan, Dvarim Shein Oisin Lemila b'Shabbos. Those things that are not permissible to do for Mila on Shabbos, Osin La B'Yomtiv. You're allowed to do them on Yomtiv. Shochin lo kamon v'tarfen lo yayin v'shemen. So in our Mishnah, it had said that you can't do those things on Shabbos, but on Yom Tov, the Brisa says you're allowed to. Asks the Gemara, Omer le Abaye le Rav Yosef, mai shna kamon b'Yom Tov d'chazi l'kdeira. When it comes to kamon on Yom Tov, so then the reason why it's permissible is because you could use it for a meal. You could use this cumin also for a meal. So yayin v'shemen chazinami b'Shabbos l'chola. But yayin and shemen could also be used. In the case of a chola, it could be used as well. What does that mean? The Gemara is going to spell out. Desanya ain tarfin yayin v'shemen l'chola b'Shabbos. There is one opinion that says you can't mix wine and oil for a chola on Shabbos. Amar Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Reb Shimon Rabbi Meir, af tarfin yayin v'shemen. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar quotes Rabbi Meir, says that you can mix. Where we'll discuss shortly what that diyun is. There's an echo Rabbosai right now. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar pam achas chash Rabbi Meir b'meyav ubikashno litrof la yayin v'shemen. Rabbi Meir, there was a time that he was sick and he asked for the yayin v'shemen to be mixed, and we asked to mix for him. Now, notice, what had Rabbi Meir said? Rabbi Meir said it was no problem to mix it for the chola. What's the issue of mixing for the chola? So the question is whether it's an obvious refuah on Shabbos. Are you making an obvious refuah on Shabbos? So Rabbi Meir was the one who said that it's mutter. Once Rabbi Meir was, he was sick, chash Rabbi Meir b'meyav, ubikashnu litrof yayin v'shemen, v'lo hinachnu, and he didn't allow us, amarnu lo. And he said to him, Dvarecha, we said to him, Amarnu lo, we said to Rabbi Meir who was sick. And Rabbi Meir didn't allow for the wine and the oil to be mixed. Dvarecha, yibatul b'chayecha, why are you being machmir? You yourself had said that it's mutter. Why are you being machmir on yourself? Amar lanus, Rabbi Meir said, Afal pishani omer kach, even though that I say it's mutter. V'chaveri omer kach, and my friends disagreed with me. This is an amazing thing about the humility of Rabbi Meir. Miyomai lo mileni li bilavar al divrei chaverai. I was machmir. If my friends were machmir and I was mekel, I was never mekel for myself. I was choshesh for the opinions of my friends. The Gemara analyzes, who knew the machmir anafshei? He was machmir for himself, for his friends that held his refuah. Avolakule alma shari. But for everybody else, it's permissible. In other words, there isn't a chash of refuah. So why is it that we don't allow the mixing of the wine and the shchika of the samimanim, if at the end of the day, it's not a problem of refuah. Now, by the way, the Mefarshim ask that, I don't have a good pshat, why did the Gemara compare it to Hilchos Yom Tov? You don't even need to get involved with Hilchos Yom Tov of that on Yom Tov it's mutter. The question is, v'shyayin v'shemen chazinami b'shabbos l'chola. That was the Gemara's question. The yayin and shemen is mutter for a chola as well. So the Rashash and others try to address this question. I did not see a good pshat. Either way, the Gemara is asking, what is the problem over here, mitzad refuah? We see that this type of refuah is mutter. It's only Rebbe Meir who was choshesh for the opinion of others who was machmer refuah. But everybody else holds its mutter. Says the Gemara, Hasam, when it comes to the case over there in the Braisa, it's talking about Shar Cholim, lo boy licha. There's no need to mix the two hard together. You don't need to mix them together hard, and therefore it doesn't look like hachana for bishul or hachana for lefua. However, hacha boy licha, over here it needs to be mixed well together, and then in such a case, the halacha is that we're going to be machmir. Says the Gemara, hachi nami neved velo leilach. Leilach means to mix it together, not to go. Over here it means to mix together. Hachi nami neved velo leilach. Let us put it together and not mix it well. Says the Gemara, no. Hainu diktani. That's exactly what the Mishnah says. Zebifneatzma is exactly that, is putting each one separately together without mixing them well together. So if you don't mix them well together, einachanami, for a chola it's mutter, and for the mila, it's going to be mutter as well. Once we've begun discussing the question of Abaye and Rav Yosef in regards to the halachos of Yayin v'Shemen on Yom Tov, so now we begin to discuss other halachos on Yom Tov as well. Tana Rabbanan, by the two dots, eight lines into the wide. Ein mesananin es achardol b'mesanena shelo. On Yom Tov, you can't sift the chardol. Those days, the mustard had parts of the seed that were edible, and parts of them that were less edible. And the desirable part, you would separate in its sieve. And you can't sweeten it with a coal. They would singe the mustard seed. So we're going to start analyzing the first case. How is this different? By the way, here is the same structure of the Gemara above. Maishna meha. You have a buyer and asking Rav Yosef the exact same question. That's probably why the Gemara is going off on a tangent, because here we have another case where the Gemara is challenging one halacha and Hilchos Yom Tov to another halacha. We're going to have a Mishnah later on Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis that says that one is allowed to put an egg through a mustard sifter. So why is it when it comes to Hilchos Yom Tov that you're going to be machmir putting the mustard and separating a beitza, you're allowed to put through? Amalei, so he answered, Hasam lo mechsi keborer. Hacha mechsi keborer. In the case of the mustard seed, since the mustard seed itself is edible, but the seed part of it is less edible, so that appears like borer. Here, it doesn't appear like borer. How does it not appear like borer? Over here, when it comes to the egg, both parts are edible. The yellow and the white are both edible. So since they're both edible, so then in such a case, you're allowed to separate it. There is a stira in Rashi between Rashi over here and Rashi on Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, exactly how the sifting between the egg was done. Do both go through or one of them doesn't go through? How does it go through the sifter? That's a technical question. But at the end of the day, when it comes to the egg itself, the egg itself is not going to be sifted. And since the egg is not going to be, in other words, what do we mean it's not going to be sifted? Both parts you want both the yellow and the white. Since you want both of them, so then in such a case, halacha is one can sift them. You're not doing borer. Tosis points out in Dibra Maschil, Hacha Mechsi Keborer, Tosis points out that over here, We're not talking about real borer when it comes to the mustard seed, because both the mustard and its seed are edible. It's just that the seed part is not as edible as the egg. And the seed part is not as edible as the mustard. In contrast to the egg, where both parts are equally edible. Okay, so that's in regards to the sifting. Says that, yes?
Does that matter, though? Meaning, usually borer, even if they're both ochel, don't we still say that there's borer?
Not according to most Rishonim. Not according to most Rishonim. Halacha l'maisa is a different story. But according to most Rishonim, ochel and ochel is mutter. Yeah. Hilchos borer halacha l'maisa, if you showed it to some Amorayim, if you recall, on Ayin Dalet Amid Aleph, there are four different positions in regards to borer, and we're choshesh for every single one of them. So the answer is that the pashtus is that ochel and ochel is entirely mutter, particularly if you want both ochlim. That might be even aliba de hilchasa. There what you're doing is you're separating the two different colors. For some reason they were very into the white looking white and the yellow to look yellow. That was what they did once upon a time. They wanted to make sure that the white of the egg and the yellow be separate. So that might be even mutter l'kuli alma, but the answer to your question also is that there are instances where you have ochel ochel that would be machmir today that many of the Amoraim would have been makel on. Okay. Ve'ein mamtikin, we're in the middle of the line, about 10 lines into the wide, in the middle. Ve'ein mamtikin osa b'chalas. So you're not allowed to singe the mustard with a gacheles. Says the Gemara v'ha'ed tanya, but then we learn a b'raisa mamtikin osa big acheles, you can sweeten it. Somehow, by putting a coal into the mustard, it singed it, and it would singe the mustard and make it sweeter. So the Gemara says, Astira, can you do it? You can't, you not do it. Says the Gemara, like Hasha, it depends on what type of coal. Kam b'gacheles shel matechas, kam b'gacheles shel eitz. If we're talking about metal, so then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. If we're talking about wood, it's going to be asur. What's the difference between wood and metal? Well, wood, you make into charcoal, and to be considered a malacha tzricha legufa, extinguishing something is not enough to be chayiv. You need to turn it into a charcoal to be considered a malacha tzricha legufa. So what would happen is, when they would put it inside of the mustard, it would burn out, the coal would burn out. So if you're burning out a wooden piece, so then in such a case you've created charcoal and some malacha, Hatzricha legufa. Mark continues. Amalei Abay the Rav Yosef. Maishna mi bisre agumre. Well, how is this different from the meat that was singed? They used to have meat that the halacha is that you're allowed to put it on gacholim to roast. So why is it that it's going to be mutter? What about the concern that it's going, when it comes in contact, it's going to be put out? Says the Gemara. Amalei hasam lo efshar. When it came to the case of the meat, that was the only way to eat it. And you have the heter of ochel nefesh. Hacha efshar, but over here it's possible to do it a different way. Now this becomes important, you saw in Hilchos Yomtiv, as the Gemara is going to go on to develop in the next two lines, and that is the heter of ochel nefesh is when it's necessary. It's necessary for you to be able to eat. But what happens if it's not necessary? For example, you could have used the gachela shel matechas, or the mustard itself was edible without it. So then in such a case, then the halacha is you're not allowed to do extinguish a coal. However, if the only way you're going to be able to eat is by this piece of meat, to roast it, is by putting it on top of those coals, and the coals are going to go out, then it's going to be permissible. The Gemara continues, Amalei Abay L'Rav Yosef, Mahu L'Gabein. What's the halacha in regards to making cheese? Amalei Asur. He said to him, it's asur to make cheese. It's asur to make cheese. Asks the Gemara, Maishna mi Lisha. What's the difference between Lisha? That the halacha is that you're allowed to knead dough in order to make bread on Yom Tov. What's the difference between that and making cheese? Now this, of course, gets involved with a fascinating question. What is the iser of making cheese? So the Gemara tells us in other places in Shabbos, that it's an Isser of Bona. But the Gemara says, if you're not allowed, making cheese is similar to Lisha. And if cheese making is Asser, then Lisha should also be Asser. Amalei, the Gemara responds, Hasam lo efshar, hacha efshar. When it comes to making cheese, you could just as well have made the cheese yesterday. You don't need to make the cheese today. However, when it comes to Lisha, there, the bread is not the same when you make it yesterday on Erev Yom Tov, and therefore it's going to be permissible. Ask Gemara, Va'amri Narda Gvina Bas Yom Ma'alya. Didn't they say Narda? No, that cheese 1 day old is a lot better than a cheese that's 2 days old. Says Gemara, Hachi Kamer, Dafilu Gvina Bas Yom Ma'alya. What they said was that cheese that's 1 day old is also going to be good. In other words, don't think that the only good cheese is the aged cheese. Something that is a day old is also going to be good. But you're not going to get cheese better when you make it within a day. The longer you let the cheese stand, the better the cheese is going to be. So therefore, there is not going to be any raya. By the way, in Shulchan Aruch, the Mefarshim point out that there are instances where cheese is better when it's made fresh, and therefore the poskim say that in such a case, one would be allowed to make cheese on Yom Tov. This came up in regards to someone asked me after we discussed sushi in the shul. We discussed Rav Shechter and Rav Belsky's position about sushi making being resembling binyan ba'ochel, like gvina. So someone asked me, what about Yom Tov? So he pointed out to me, this was Rav Gil, he pointed out to me that by Yom Tov, there are poskim that are mekel, that say that when it comes to cheese, since the cheese tastes better that day, so then in such a case, then it's going to be mutter. That's what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. So that's an interesting question. What would be in regards to making sushi on Yom Tov? That's a little bit beyond our scope, at least before the halacha from the Daily Dot. Okay, let's continue. Ein osin lo chalok. So we learned in our Mishnah, go back to the Mishnah on the bottom of Kufla Megimel Amud Aleph, that the Mishnah said that you can't make a chalok. What's a chalok? Chalok is literally a jacket. What we're talking about here is something that's going to surround the mila. So there was something that was made before Shabbos that would surround the mila. For those of us who've been zoche to make a bris for our son, if you recall, they put something around the mila right after the mila. So once upon a time, they would put like a glove over the mila itself. So that you're not allowed to make on Shabbos. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says they would make on the last line of Kuflam Gimel and Aleph, they would make a kesher on the kis, on this chalok, and therefore it is aser to do on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara begins to tell us many different rebbeinis that Abaye had learned from Aim. Now, it's an interesting piece of history. Abaye, his mother died in childbirth, and Abaye had a woman who had raised him, who Abaye was very, very close with. We're going to see also later in today's daf that Abaye was a big expert in regards to Mila. And Abaye throughout Shas quotes this aim. This was his adopted mother who took care of him about many wisdoms in life. Abaye quotes her a lot. And particularly in this daf, because Abaye himself went into the profession of taking care of babies after their bris mila, he quotes a lot from this aim. Amar Abaye, Amar li aim, hai chaluk di nuka, lefanya lesitra li'iloi. This chaluk that they make for the child, make sure lefanya lesitra li'iloi, to turn up the back. In other words, if for those of you who could see my hand, people listening on the internet won't be able, the recording won't be able to see my hand, but here, let's say this is the chaluk, the aver would go inside over here. He says, don't just simply put the chaluk inside, fold it up. Fold it up that it doesn't become attached to the erva. Dilma midbek gardamine, lest it get attached, the chutim of the bandage that's wrapped around it like a jacket, va'asile de krushifcha, and the child will be damaged when the chaluk is going to be taken apart. Ime da Abaye of da kista lefalga. That's what Abaye used to do. The profession of Abaye. You see, Abaye just didn't sit and learn. Abaye, when he went back from the Beis Medrash, he visited a few babies after their mila. That was his profession. So Abaye went and he would visit of da kista lefalga. He would make these things for babies the kis that's described in our Mishnah. Amar Abaye, Hayinuka de Lesle Chaluk. If there is a child that doesn't have a chaluk, that's put on the mila, for whatever reason they don't have it, Laita Belise de Islay Sifta. They should bring a worn out piece of beged that has an edge on it. In other words, that you won't become too attached. Velichrase Lesifta Latatai. And they should put the bottom edge of it on the beginning of the gid, va'ayif le'li'ilai, and then roll it up, as we presented before, to make sure that the kiss doesn't become too attached to the aver, and then create damage later on. We continue with many more etzas from Abaye. Our entire daf is going to continue from wise things that Abaye had said in terms of taking care of babies that were born, both in regards to Mila and in regards to other things as well. V'amar Abaye, Amr Liyem, he continues to quote his adopted mother. Continues to quote her. Hayinuka de lo yidia mapakte, a tinok that does, we don't know exactly where the hole, yes?
Was it Abaye who fixed these kisuim, or was it Amei de
Abaye? No, Abaye himself. Abaye.
What's the word before Abaye?
The profession. Imei da Abaye is the profession of Abaye.
Ah, okay.
That's confusing, because you have Abaye Amra La'aim, and then you have Imei da Abaye, the profession of Abaye. V'Amar Abaye, and Abaye taught, Amra La'aim, my adopted mother told me, Hayinuka d'lo'idia ma'pakte, if we can't find the hole for the urine, where the urine goes out, l'shaifei mishcha. So what you should do in order to make sure that the child is urinating properly is you put oil on the aver, velukme lahade yoma, and then you look at the baby under the sun, vehecha de zigli kare besarte shisivarv. And if you see a small hole, then immediately over there you cut it open a little bit more to create the space for the urine to go out. Aval bekli matachos, but don't cut it low. Don't cut it with a metal instrument, mishum dezarif, because that could cause the child to become swollen. It seems like the chash over here is that the metal instrument would create some type of infection. Based on what we know today, it could be that a metal instrument would create. Yes, Rabbi Yamin.
I think Rashi says it's not where the urine comes out, it says where the beis harei.
Nachon, I'm mekabel that. Yes, I'm mekabel. It's on the back side, not in the front. Correct. MS. Okay, good. Thank you very much. V'amar Abaye, Amr li aim, the adopted mother taught me, Hayinuka de lo mayitz. If you have a baby that is not nursing, maker hu de kar pume, you should. What's happened is that his mouth has become cold, and that somehow that's inhibiting the child from nursing. Maitakante, what's the etza? Kase leise kase gamre, bring a cup of coals, velinket lelade pume de chayem pume, and put it next to the child. In other words, bring basically a warm bottle, umayitz, and that will encourage the baby to nurse. Another Eitzah for Abaye. V'amar Abaye Amar Liyem, Hayinuka Dulo Minshise. If there is a child that doesn't seem to be breathing well, not breathing as consistent as a regular person, Limpefe Benavsa Uminshite. You should bring an air blower towards his face and put it towards him, in other words, to circulate the air. V'amar Abaye Amar Liyem, Hayinuka Dulo Ma'avi. A child that isn't, you don't see his breath coming in and out of his mouth. Now, you don't see the breath coming out of his mouth, leite silte de ime, velishrike ilave, then bring the placenta that he was born with from his mother and spread it over him, umaave. Now, it happens to be that today many believe that placenta has very strong medicinal properties. It's not so clear exactly why spreading the placenta over him is going to transmit those medicinal properties, but that was what was suggested at that time. Another suggestion, Hayinuka de Katan, a child that is very small, leisir silta dime, again, bring the placenta, velishrike ilave mikutina leume. And here you put the placenta from the narrow side to the wide side. The placenta was narrower on the top where the head was, and wider on the bottom where the legs were, and so put the placenta over him. The alim, and if it's the opposite, that the child seems to be too big, me'uma lekatana, then put it in the other direction, from the width to the narrow. Exactly how that works, we don't know. If there is a baby that is very ruddy, that's because the blood is staying on the surface and hasn't been absorbed into the rest of the body. So what you should warm him up until the blood goes through the rest of the body, and only do mila afterwards. In other words, here the Gemara is telling us to be careful that the child's blood levels are steady before you do mila. And here we have Billy Rubin, the yarok, if the child is yarok. Now, in halacha, yarok often means yellow. Take a look in Tosas and Sukkah, Alam and Aleph Amabez, Dira Maskel HaYarok. This comes up also in Nida, when they talk about dam yarok. That probably doesn't mean green blood. We don't know of green blood, but we do know blood that has lost most of its reddish tint, that's something that's yellowish. So we have that also in Nida as well. Tosis discusses it over there. And that's what we talk about, a baby being yellow. That's the discussion of baby being yellow. So the yarok, da'katilo nafo beidme, that's because the blood isn't flowing as properly as it should. Lirsechu adenafo beidame, and warm him up until, and to wait, and warm up until the blood goes throughout vilamale, and then only then to do the mila. So this is the source that we have, that if a baby has bilirubin, not to do mila. The Gemara brings a raya from a brisit for this etza. The sanya, Amar Rabbi Nosson, pamachas halachti likarke hayam. I went, says Rabbi Nosson, to an island. Uvasa isha lefanai shemala bin arishon umes sheni umes. Unfortunately, in those times, it was common for babies to die during the mila. And she had lost two children, Vashlishi Vyesu Lefanai, and they brought me the third, Re'isiv Shu Adam, and I saw he was ruddy, Vamartilo Amtino Achi Bala Badam, and I said, don't do the Mila, wait. Imtinu La Achiniv La Badam, they waited, Umala Savachaya. Vayakarin Osa Nasana Bavli Ashmo, Ashmi, and he says, they named the baby after me, because I was the one who had given the suggestion that saved the baby's life. From here, you see that the Svardim are right and the Ashkenazim are wrong, that you can name a baby over after someone who is alive. I'm not changing at my Ashkenazi custom. I come from pure Ashkenazi background, and the custom is not to name after a living person, but you see clearly from the Gemara that one can. Shuv pamachas alachlim dinas kaputkia. Kaputkia is a place that's mentioned in the Gemara in Ksubis. That was a very, very fancy area. In fact, the Gemara describes that Kaputkia, the value of the coinage was 9 times than the value in other places. Ubas isha hachas, but there, unfortunately, there was infant mortality as well. A woman came in front of me, Shabala b'na rishon umes, sheni umes, hashlish eviati lefanai, they said, they brought me the baby, and they were afraid, what are they going to do? Re'isiv shu yarok, I saw that he was yellow. Hitzatzti bo v'lo re'isiv bo dam bris. I saw that there wasn't enough dam bris in the aver. Vamartla hamtini lo achipa bodomo. Wait till the blood spreads out. Vintinu lo umalo savichoy vaykarno shmo nasan habavli al shmi. So Rabbi Nosson had had children named after him because he had saved their lives. We begin a new Mishnah on the top of Kuflam and Daladam and Beis. Marchitzin es hakotan bein lefnei mila ubein laachra mila. So our Mishnah is going to talk about the preparation of the baby that requires rechitza before the mila and after the mila. Chazal b'chachmasan understood something, whether they understood exactly scientifically or not, but that hygiene was extremely important. And of course, we know that to this day that making sure that a wound is clean is extremely important. So to clean the baby beforehand and to clean the baby after is extremely important, and therefore you're allowed to do that, even though rechitza is generally usur on Shabbos. Not only is rechitza aser, but even to heat up the water as well, if it's necessary for the baby, is going to be mutter as well. Umezalfin alav biyad, and you're allowed to spray with your hand. Now the Gemara is going to ask immediately, which one is it? Could you wash? When you talk about wash, it means you take the baby in a cute little bathtub and you wash the baby in the bathtub. And here it says, mezalfin alav biyad, that you're allowed to spray the baby. Which one is it? The Gemara is going to discuss that you could only use the yad of a lo bikli. Reb Elazar ben Azariah Omer, marchitzenes hakotam biyom shlishi shechalios b'shabbos. Not only could you wash the baby on the day of his milah, but the third day of his milah as well, as the famous pasuk, when it comes to Bnei Yaakov, Shenemar Vayiva Yom Ashlish Bi Yosem Koyevim, that Bnei Yaakov came onto Shechem when everybody was weak after their Mila on the third day. So we see that the third day is the weekday of Mila, since it's the week, W-E-A-K, day of Mila, so then in such a case, one is allowed to do the above of Rechitza as well. The Mishnah continues, this will be discussed on tomorrow's daf. Safek v'androgynous e'michal l'navas a Shabbos. If you have a safek, you cannot do Mila. We discussed in the previous daf that Mila is done on Shabbos. For safek and androgynous, you can't. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'androgynous. Rabbi Yehuda has a different shita that will be discussed further. Says the Gemara, as we analyzed in our Mishnah, the Mishnah really doesn't read well. Va'amrit reisha marchitzin. In the beginning you say that you could wash the baby, and then immediately you say that you sprinkle the baby with water. Which one is it? Rav Yehuda Rab Barvua Darmi Tavayu Ketzad Tani Marchitzin Asakotam Bein Lefnei Mila Bein Lachar Mila Ketzad Mizalfin Alav Biyad Avolo Bikli. In other words, it goes like this, that you read the Mishnah saying you're allowed to wash. How do you wash? Mizalfin. Not in a bathtub. The only thing you could do is Mizalfin. Amar Rava. Rava didn't like this pshat. V'amarchitzin k'tani. If it meant that you could do mezalfin, why confuse everybody? Why use a word marchitzin that connotates doing it in a bathtub and then say mezalfin? Don't start off that way. That's just such a confusing way of writing the Mishnah. That can't be what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi meant. Amar Rava v'amarchitzin k'tani. Ela amar Rava, but rather Rava says hachik k'tani. Marchitzin es hakotan beim lefnei amila. Bein la'achar mila, you could wash the katan both before the mila and after mila. Biyom arishon kedarko, on the first day in the normal way. Ubayom ashlishi, and on the third day. Shechalios b'shabbos mezalfin alav biyad. So then you could sprinkle the baby. Avalo bikli. And that's where we have the machlokis. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer marchitzes hakatan biyom ashlishi chalios b'shabbos. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds no, that on the third day, you're allowed to even wash the baby. Shenemar, why? Because the third day is as lenient as the first day because of the fact that the Mi'ilah is worse on that day. Shenemar, first wide line. So that's why we say that the halacha is that Rechitza is mutter on that day as well. So we reconcile the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Marchitzin es hakatan. When the Mishnah says, Marchitzin es hakatan, the Mishnah is saying, on the first day you're marchitz, umezalfin alav, what was the Mishnah talking about? That was the third day, according to the Tanakhama, to which Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah comes along, and he's choleg. Tanya kavasei de Rava. Rava has a brisa like this. Marchitz and akotan, bein lefnei mila, bein lachamil, biyomishan kedarkoi, ubiyoyim ashlishi, shechaliyois b'shabis, mezalfin alav biyad. So that's how the Tanakhama learns that you do it with your yad. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, marchitz and asakotam yom shlishi chalis b'shabes vafel b'shem raya dover zeich ledover shenem arviv ayom ashlishi b'yosem koyim g'shem period u'g'shem ezalfin. And how do you sprinkle? Em ezalfin lo b'kois v'lo b'ka'ara. You can't use a cup, you can't use a dish, v'lo b'kli ela b'yad. You can mamish do it with your hand. Asan l'tanakama. This line, that how do you do the mezalfin, that's going according to the Tanakhama, because according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you never have to use your hand. You always use a kli. So the Braisa reads as follows. The Braisa says that according to the Tanakhama, you could do regular rechitz on the first day, you could only do mezalfin on the third day. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah disagrees, and he says that you do marchitzin even on the third day. The Braisa then says, and how do you do mezalfin? You do mezalfin with your hand. That's going back, according to the Tanakhama, on the third day. Because according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you could do with the mezalfin, you could do all, the third day marchitzin as well. There's no need for mezalfin at all. Period. 7 lines into the wide, my afal pi shein raya ledover, zecher ledover. What does it mean that even though there's no raya that rechitzes mutter, that's a zecher, mishum, what does it mean that? Why does it say zecher ledover? It's a pasuk mefurish. The pasuk mefurish says that they're not well on the third day. So then it should be no different than the first day. So why is it a zecher ledover? It's mamish a raya. Says the Gemara, lo silik bisra hai. Katan silik bisrei hai. A gadol, the gadol lo silik bisrei hai. Katan silik bei bisrei hai. When it comes to a gadol, his flesh doesn't heal as quickly as a child. I don't know if you've noticed this, that when your children get a scratch, how quickly the scratch disappears versus us who are in our 30s and 40s. So it takes longer. Our bodies already are aging. And a child's flesh recuperates a lot faster than an adult. So therefore, says the Gemara, I might have thought that the first day is only a heter for the baby, even though when it comes to adults, the third day is also a sakana, and that was the case over there by Shechem. But when it comes to children, it's not a sakana. Kamashmalan, the chiddush is that we apply it, and there's a zeichel adavar. It's not a rayel adavar because it's not the exact same thing. Ahudas lekamei de Rava. Someone came to Rava and he asked him a shaila about bathing on the third day. Orale kishmaitzah. So he taught him like Rava had feared ice in our sugya. So what had happened? Ichlish Rava. Rava got sick, and Rava took this as a sign that he was getting punished, that he had paskin wrong, that he gave too big of a heter. Rava got sick, and he paskin wrong. Va'amar, and Rava had charata. And Rava said, "Ana bahadi targeimna disave lamali. Why did I get into a fight with the big Talmid Chachamim? Why did I fight with the Zakenim? I should have been machmir like them. They were machmir, and I was being makel according to the Tanakama." He says, "I made a mistake. I should have been machmir with them." Amr le Rabbana le Rava. His Talmid said, "No, Rebbe, we thought your kula was muchrach, not because we like kulas, but we thought that you learned up the sugya correctly. That was the reason we didn't stop you when you said the shir the first time." Amr le Rabbana le Rava. The Chacham said to Rava, "Vatanya kaval se demar. You quoted a brisa. The brisa is exactly like you. The brisa had said that the halacha is that you could wash a katan on the first day. Rava was mekel and said that you could wash the katan the first day according to everybody." And there were some who had learned our Mishnah and said, no, you could only do Ziluf. So they said, the Braisa is beferish like you. Amaluhu, so Rava said back to them, "You're right. The Braisa is like me. But Masnisan Kivasayu Daika." But the Mishnah actually sounds more like the other Shita. That when we say Marchitzin, it really means Mizalfin, even on the first day. Mimai, why do I say that, says Rava? Midika'amar Rebelozam and Azariah Marchitzin Sakatabiyam Shishi Shechalios Bishabbos. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that you could do rechitza on the third day. Iam Rebishleim Tanakama Mizalfin Kamar. If the Tanakama was talking entirely about Ziluf and only was Matar Ziluf, Hainu the Kamal Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that's where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah introduces China. He introduces something that's entirely new. He says, "Oh, Marchitzin." He's introducing a new thing. He says Marchitzin. So then, if he says Marchitzin, he's introducing a new thing, and that means that beforehand they've been talking about Ziluf. If the Tanakama had already been Matir Marchitzin on the first day, and he holds you need to do Ziluf on the third day, like Rav had learned, hi, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Omer Marchitzin? Should it say Rebbe Elazar holds Marchitzin? Af Marchitzin mi boile. It should say also Rechitza. In other words, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah says to the Tanakama, not only could you Rechitza on the first day, you could do Rechitza on the third day. The fact that it doesn't say Af Marchitzin sounds like Marchitzin, it just says Marchitzin, sounds like the Tanakama had never said anything about Marchitzin. That the Tanakama had only been Matir Mizalfin. So Rava had Charata, and Rava thought then maybe he had made a mistake according to the Tanakhama. However, the psak is lekula. Ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar Rabbi Elazar, he sent them Rabbi Elazar Lachik to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that you could do rechitza, and that would mean you could do rechitza on the third day, and certainly on the first day. Now the Gemara has a new shaila that they asked in Marava. They asked in Eretz Yisrael, Havu ba memar Rava. They asked the following shayla in Eretz Yisrael. Harchotzas kol gufay, ay harchotzas mila. When we are matir the rechitza for the baby, are we matir to wash the baby's entire body or the mila? Notice the explanation that we had given initially was the concern of infection. Usually that's at the area of the wound. Or do we say no, that somehow we're concerned about some type of fever for the entire body, and therefore you could wash the entire body? It's mistabra that we're being matter the whole thing. Now the Gemara is going to attempt a raya. It's going to reject it, then it's going to reject its rejection, and then it's going to reject its rejection again. So it's going to be a little bit of a chad gadya over here, and we're going to end up, after the back and forth, we're going to end up in the exact same place without a solution. But the Gemara attempts a raya. De'is al kadaita charchotzes mila, if we're going to say that the rechitza is just simply washing a makam mila, mi gara mechamin al gabe maka, we wouldn't need to learn a halacha that you're allowed to wash the mila, because then it's no different than washing any other wound. The Amar Rav, Rav had already taught us, ein monin, that we can't hold back chamin v'shemim me'algabe makah b'Shabbos. You can't hold back hot water and oil from a wound on Shabbos. You're allowed to take care of a wound on Shabbos. So if you're allowed to take care of a wound on Shabbos, so then obviously you could take care of the Mila as well. So it must be, what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? The chiddush of our Mishnah is that you could do rechitza on the entire guf. Maskif law Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, what? No, there's no raya for this at all. V'lo shani lach ben chamin shuchmu v'shabbos l'chamin shuchmu be'er Shabbos. Our Mishnah was not telling us simply that you could wash the wound of the Mila. It was telling us you could heat up the water. That is a much bigger chiddush. So, ein hachanami, if we would be talking about washing a wound, there's no chiddush to tell me that you could wash the wound of the Mila on Shabbos, because you could wash any wound on Shabbos. But, says Rav Yosef, our Mishnah is talking about heating up the water to wash the wound. So then you have no raya. And that's not the same case. So maybe you're only allowed to heat up the amount of water that's necessary for the wound itself, but you're not allowed to heat up more water for the whole body. Maskif lo Ravdimi. Ravdimi came back. Umimai da'acha d'cham eshuchmu b'Shabbos pligi. How do you know we were talking about water that had been heated up on Shabbos, about heating up the water on Shabbos? Dilma mecham and shulchma b'Erev Shabbos pligi. Maybe we're talking about water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos. And then what's the chiddush? The chiddush is not that you're washing the wound. The chiddush is that you're washing the entire baby. And ein hachanami. If we were talking about heating up the water on Shabbos, we wouldn't know any halacha about washing, how much the baby you could wash. But if we're talking about water that's been already heated up on Shabbos, then we've got a good raya. Amar Abaya, no Abaya di Ishni Le v'kodem v'shanin le Rav Yosef. I wanted to say to Rav Dimi what Rav Yosef had said, that certainly our Mishnah was talking about hot water that was heated up on Shabbos, mipnei she'sakonu hulo, that the case is, we're talking about water that's heated up on Shabbos because we're dealing with a sakana, and then ein hachanami, we have no raya. We don't know if our Mishnah is talking about heating up the water, and then there is no raya, and then with the chiddush, our Mishnah is that you could heat up water for sakana, or our Mishnah is talking about when we're using hot water that has been cooked already before Shabbos and washing the whole baby. So we don't have a raya of when you have water that's been heated up on Erev Shabbos, whether you could use it to wash the whole baby or not. The fact that our Mishnah says that you could heat up water could be talking about heating up water on Shabbos itself. So now we've got to go back to our Shaila. And before we do that, we're just going to come to the conclusion that our Mishnah is talking about heating up water on Shabbos itself. Itmar Nami, Kiyasa Ravin, Amar Rebbe Avo, Amar Rebbe Lazar, Va'amri Le Rebbe Avo, Amar Rebbe Yechan, Halacha K'Rebbe Lazar Ben Azariah, we pass like Rebbe Lazar Ben Azariah, that's mutter to heat up the water, we saw according to Rebbe Lazar Ben Azariah on the third day, but not only that, Bein Bechamin Shulchmu B'Shabbos, Bein Bechamin Shulchmu Me'erv Shabbos, we're talking about heating up the water on Shabbos itself, or water that was heated up on Shabbos, and Bein achatzis kol gufa, bein achatzis mila, mipnei shesakana ilai. You could use it to wash the baby for the achatzis mila, but also for the entire body as well. Okay. Now, so that's the maskana. Maskana is, you're right, there's no hechreach from our Mishnah, but we paskin that way. We paskin that the halacha is that it's going to be mutter, and it'll be mutter to heat up the water for the entire baby as well. Says the Gemara. Yeah.
At this point, if the water was heated from Erev Shabbos, would there have been a machlokas at this point? Meaning, is there an issur rechitza as well as an issur of heating the water, or is the only issue of the Mishnah just the heating the water?
After we've learned the Itmar Nami, or before?
Yeah, meaning, either way.
So before, we had a tzad that maybe the chiddush of our Mishnah is just simply that you're allowed to wash the whole body of the baby. Kamash Malan, that our Mishnah might be telling us that you're allowed to heat up the water for the baby. And if we're talking about heating up the water for the baby, it's not clear whether you're allowed to heat up the water just for the Mila or for the entire Guf. And we paskin that you could heat up for the entire Guf as well.
But if you had water already heated, though, then still not question if you wash the whole body, or there would still be potentially a problem.
So there would be no, if the Mishnah was talking about that the water had been heated up on Erev Shabbos, and the Mishnah was telling us that you could wash the baby, then it would have to be that it would be washing the whole baby. Because we already learned that you could wash a makkah.
Because you could wash the mila, but it must be the rest.
Now the Gemara goes back to the shaila of washing a makkah, gufa. Amarav, ein monin chamin v'shem me'agali makkah b'shabbos. You're allowed to wash a wound and put oil on a makkah. Shmuel Amar, noisein chutz l'makkah v'shoyses v'yard l'makkah. Shmuel had a chumrah. That was Rav Shita. Rav said you could put it on. Shmuel said that you could only put it near and it runs into the makkah. Why? Because he was choshesh for refuah b'shabbos. He was machmir for refuah b'shabbos. So you have to do some type of shinui where it's not obvious that it's a refuah for the makkah. So up until now, we've been assuming like Shitas Rav. Now the Gemara introduces Shita Shmuel. Meisve, the Gemara asks on Rav from a brisa. Ein noisin shen l'chamin al gabi moich. You're not allowed to put oil on top of a bandage. By the way, we do this, right? In a case of where it's mutter to put on a bandage, sometimes we'll put on the antiseptic ointment onto the bandage and put it directly onto the baby. One thing you should be careful is with the ointment not to rub it in. But generally, people are makel with this. But the brises seem to say it's aser. Says the Gemara, Hasa mishum schita. There the chshash is, Achshash of Schita. We were afraid that in those days, those bandages, people would come to squeeze out the medicine. So that is going to be Asr. But Mi'ikr Dedina, in terms of Refuah, it's not Achshash, that we're making on Refuah to put it on top of a wound. Tashma, Einos Nechan V'Sham Nalgabi Moksh Algabi Maka B'Shabbos. Another Bryce that seems to be against Rav, that you're not allowed to put this Chamin Shamin on top of the Moch. Says the Gemara, Asam Nami Mishum Schita, so too will be Asr Al Schita. Derech Agav, if we had a type of bandage that was common for people to squeeze, then Einach Nami, we would have a Shaila that then becomes part similar to this Halacha of Einos Nechamin Shamin Al Gabe Moch Shal Gabe Maka b'Shabbos. Tanya Kavasi Shmuel. We learned the Brisa like Shmuel. Ein nosin chamin shamin shel maka agav maka b'Shabbos. Avo nosin chutz l'maka v'shoseis v'yored. That the halacha is that you're only allowed to do it on the outside. You're not allowed to put it directly inside. Tanya Rabbanan. We learned in the Brisa nosin agav maka mitoch yavesh usfog yavesh. If you're allowed to put on top of a maka a dry bandage and a dry sfogus, literally a sponge. Avalo gemi yavesh, but you're not allowed to put a rubber type of substance. Velok sisin yavashin, and not pieces of cotton. So here we have a stira, because above it said moch yavesh. Now moch was made out of cotton. So kasha sisin aksisin. So are you allowed to put cotton on top, or are you not allowed to put cotton on top? Answers the Gemara, Loikasha, Habichadati, Habatiki. It depends on whether we're talking about something new or something that's old. The Seifa is talking about something that was new cotton. Then that actually heals. and that's going to be usher. In other words, they believed that fresh cotton had healing powers. However, the old cotton did not. It was already worn out. And therefore, why are you putting it on? You're putting it on, say, to prevent infection, but you're not doing it to heal. So that becomes a very, very interesting point, that if you're putting on the bandage for it to heal, then it's a shayla of refuah. But if you're putting it on simply to prevent infection, so then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. Amar Abaye Shma Mina Haniksisin Masu. We see that cotton can heal, and therefore, we see that, number one, b'metzius, and number two, it'll be a shayla of refuah. If, however, you're putting it down just simply to prevent it from infection, so then in such a case, the halacha is that it's going to be mutter. Okay? B'siyata d'shmaya siyamnu daf kuf lamed dalet.